And once again, good morning. Ah, I'm here. Thank you. Great. Well, it's good to welcome you to worship here at the Salvation Army once again. And I know this is going to be a very interesting meeting. And I'm sure the Lord will be with us as we go through. For a number of reasons, there will be no open air this morning. The captain has actually some ideas how to change the open air and to get it moving again. But for various reasons this morning, we will not have an open air. Those of you who come regularly, you know that my next statement is there will be tea and coffee served in the community hall. And it will give an opportunity this morning for the band to join in that very special fellowship. So tea and coffee, if you can stay, it would be great. That also gives me an opportunity to say that after how many years of a cafe and how many years of a pandemic, the Thursday coffee morning has come alive again. And yes, hooray. And this Thursday is the very first. And Thursday after Thursday from then onwards at 10 to 12, tea and coffee will be served. And it's open to anyone. It's not just open to those of us who come on a Sunday, but it is open to the people in the town as well. So remember that. Spread the news, 10 o'clock till 12, every Thursday from now on. I should have said on Tuesday for the advisory team, there is a meeting here at 7:30. Next Sunday, we have specials conducting our meetings, and Major Nick and Kerry Koch will be leading us in our worship. Now, since the pandemic, because of health and safety reasons, we've made you and asked you to put your offering in the plate as you leave. And that will still apply today. But as you go out, there'll be a second bucket on the table. And it says Cadets Collection. Now, every year, the Salvation Army asks all the Corps to have a Sunday where they collect money. And this will go towards paying for the training of cadets going into the college this year and to become Salvation Army officers. When I was an officer, we had 150. When my mother was an officer, they had 500. Now, if we get five or six, it's excellent. But they still need to be trained. So now, I realize that most of you have only brought your collection with you. So please put that in the right plate as you go out. And if you've got some extra, you put it in the bucket. But if not, we will bring the bucket out again next Sunday and have that collection for the cadets. Now, in a few moments, or a little while actually in the meeting, the band will be playing their piece. And before they play, Kevin will have something to say, because this is a final day to a number of people who have supported and been in this corps for many years. And so Kevin will explain who's leaving from the band. But I have the pleasing duty of saying it's great to see Bernard and Kath here in the meeting. But it's also very sad, because this is their last meeting at Felixstowe. And I think very soon they'll be moving near a family to Stowmarket. So I just want to take a moment to say thank you to both of you for what you've been and done for our Corps. Your support to the many officers who have been stationed here during your time has been, well, they've been so pleased to have you. And I would need a whole meeting to go through the life of Bernard and Kath, but I've just got these two moments. And I shall always remember Bernard for his great gift of music. He used to scare me to death when he was conducting the band, and I thought, if I play a wrong note, I'm going to be told. But he's soft-hearted, really, when you get to know him. But his music ability has helped this Corps tremendously. And Kath has the ability to raise money, and she must have raised many, many hundreds of pounds with her little sale especially on a coffee morning, and it's been much appreciated by the call. That's just two of the talents that they have. But I invite you to remember Kath and Bernard in your prayers. And there's another way you can remember them. On the notice board, on that side of the notice board, you will find their new address. And so you can keep in contact with them by writing to them, and they'd be so pleased if you would do that. So take note of the address and use it, please, when you can. Now, I don't think it's out of place here in a Sunday morning meeting to show our appreciation of what Bernard and Kath have given to this call. So I invite you to put your hands together with mine and say thank you, Bernard, and thank you, Kath. Remember you in our prayers. Now I'm going to hand over to someone a lot younger than me, and Claire. Here we are. So I hand over to Claire now, and with Julie, they're going to lead us in our worship this morning.
Thank you, John, and it's lovely to have you back. We've missed John, haven't we? We've missed seeing your face, John. Your wit and sarcasm has been missed. Julia and I feel really blessed to be here, and it's so nice to be standing here and seeing your smiling faces, so please keep those smiles up throughout the meeting. I'm sure you'll be familiar with seeing Julia and I here on a Sunday morning, but what you might not know is that Julia and I also work together during the week as well. We work for a Christian charity in Ipswich called the Selig Suffolk Trust. We work closely with individuals to help them end their cycle of homelessness. If you would like to know more about our work, then please do speak to us after the meeting. And also, just to say, if you were here on New Year's Day on January the 1st and you wrote some things down and put them in an envelope, I've got those envelopes with me, so I'll hand them out to you or come and see me, because I can't read everyone's names on the envelopes, and I'll give those to you as well. Our first song this morning: Holy, Holy, Holy. If you are willing and able to stand, then please do, as we join here in worship this morning. Thank you.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, you his servants. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised, both now and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is exalted over all the nations, his glory above the heavens. Almighty God, we are pleased to be here in your house this morning. And through your Son Jesus, Almighty God, you invite us to call you Father. And so we come together as part of your church family. Without you, our lives are not complete. We know that we need your forgiveness and your strength. Forgive us for our failings and keep us humble as we seek your forgiveness. We long to be closer to you. We offer you our praise and thank you for all the blessings of this life. We are here because we want to know more about you, to be challenged by you, and to walk more closely with you. Lord God, prepare us to hear what will be read today from Scripture and to take that as your holy word. Help us to keep our focus as Penny reads for us today. As Julia and Claire lead us in worship today, open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Help us to take time to reflect as the band plays and the songsters sing. Help us to recognize, pray, and respond to the needs of the world. Open our eyes so that we can see the Jesus we seek to serve. We ask this in his precious name. Amen. Do look up. Beginning of our prayer time, I was reading to you, obviously, from a psalm. I think you might have recognised it. I won't put you to the test, but it was Psalm 113. And I actually stopped before the end of the psalm, and I want to read the remaining verses to you. You'll remember it was an affirmation of God's almighty power. And it says here, "Who is like the Lord our God, the one who sits enthroned on high?" And the next verse, which I didn't read, "He stoops down to look on the heavens and on the earth." He stoops down from this high and mighty place to look over the heavens and on the earth. What does he see? That's a big question, isn't it? What does he see when he looks down on this earth today? You'll have your own thoughts. But I'm particularly struck that he sees brokenness. He sees despair. He sees suffering. He sees fragile lives. He sees those with nowhere to call home. He sees those who are unable to speak for themselves. Let me read on. He stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes, with the princes of his people. He settles the childless woman in her home as a happy mother of children. Praise the Lord. This psalm was used by Graham Kendrick And he often uses this when he introduces one of his most well-known songs. It's a well-known song. It's probably the most intensely deep song that we could sing. Well, it's not a song. It's a prayer. So the second part of our prayer time today is for all of us to sing as we sit this prayer. He talks about those who need to show compassion to the poor and the suffering in this world. It was written for an agency called Tear Fund, which you probably know something about. It's a charity that was set up to end poverty. And he wrote this song after he'd been to India on a visit in 1992. I just want to tell you a couple of the things that he said at that time, because he was particularly struck by the poverty that he experienced in India. Driving through Bombay in the midnight hour, I saw an incredible sight. Thousands and thousands of people sleeping out on the streets. There were lepers carrying babies, reaching out for rupees with fingerless hands. From such poverty, I came home to see people buying things they don't need with money they don't have, to bring happiness that doesn't exist. The purpose of this prayer is to ignite compassion in the hearts of all people and for us all to lend a hand to help in this broken world. Will you join me in continuing in prayer as we sing this prayer?
Thank you, Paul, for those prayers. That was wonderful. In a slight change of mood, I'm going to ask the children to come and help with some experiments that we've got. Thank you. We're going this way. We're coming closer to you so you can see. Okay, I'd like you to start. I'm going to tell you about this experiment, and then I'd like you to pick a tool. So we're going to do heart surgery. Who knows what heart surgery is? Jago, what is heart surgery? Yes, and what is surgery? Exactly right, it's fixing someone. So do you think that the people who do this in real life, do you think they have quite a lot of training to do that? Yeah, so we haven't had much training, have we? So we'll just see how it goes. So if you pick a tool, Jago, you can take the lead. Yeah, you wear that. It's your job to check that they're still alive if you've got that on. Has everyone else got a tool? Isla, do you want to come round here? So we're going to start by operating on these hearts. I'm just going to show them to everyone. This is one of them. Felicity, can you hold the other one up? What are these made of? Yeah, they're stone, aren't they? So let's see how you get on. So can you check whether this is a lump? Okay, there's no heartbeat. We're not going to come to any harm. So, Lucy, do you want to try and change that heart? So, Lucy is trying to put a pattern on it. Is that working?
No.
Matthew's trying to cut it. Hudson's trying to put a pattern on it. Do you want to try something different? Is anyone making any difference at all? So, what do you think we need to do? What needs to be different? Do you think that will help? Really? Well, see, you can have a go at doing some CPR. What do you want to try, Jago? The heart is cold, Jago says. He's checked the temperature. The heart is cold. Matthew's doing CPR. Is that working? Catherine's giving it an injection. Yeah, so Isla's saying we can't do anything. They're just stone. We can't change them. We can't make any difference. So now if you go to the other end, we'll start with your tools at the other end. Isla will uncover the new hearts. Oh, I don't think there is. I think he's just trying. He's hoping, I think. So see, Felicity, go and see if you can make a pattern on one of these hearts up there. Archie, can you make a pattern on one of those green hearts? Well, why don't you go and try to do something with this on a heart up there? So, Felicity, is your pattern working?
Yes, a little.
Okay, and why do you think that is? What's the difference? Yeah, so what's the difference? This is hard.
That's hard.
Yeah. And what's this?
It's made out of Play-Doh.
So is it softer? Is it? Yeah. So you can change the shape of it. Jago's still listening for a heartbeat. We're making all sorts of patterns and shapes because these hearts are soft, but these hearts are stone. So there is a message here, which is about what our hearts need to be like for God to make a difference. And in order for God to make a difference to our hearts, we need to let him have our hearts. So we're going to sing a song, which
you won't know the words to, but you do know the song. So we're looking for everyone to join in with all the actions. So we're going to sing a song. Who do we need to give our hearts to so that he can change them? Jesus. It's the hokey cokey, but with different words.
Thanks, Julia. Due to risk of injury with this song, I'm going to get the children to do it on the floor. So, boys and girls, if you're happy to leave the Play-Doh for now and the hearts, you made some great patterns, you can keep that piece. And if you can stand on a line here, facing this way, you know the actions. We're going to sing loud and proud for those that want to. Don't worry if you don't want to. Archie's got his trumpet. Excellent. Come and stand here, darling. Well done. Turn around, face the grown-ups. Face the grown-ups that way. Take it away. Thanks, Jackie.
Morning. The following scriptures are taken from The Voice, a fresh expression of the Bible. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 25 to 7 read, "We will sprinkle you with clean water, and you will be clean. I will wash away all your dirtiness, and you will be clean and pure, free from the taint of idols. I will plant a new heart, a new spirit inside of you. I will take out your stubborn, stony heart and give you a willing, tender heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit inside of you and inspire you to live by my statutes and follow my laws." Now from the 2nd of Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. "The God who spoke light into existence, saying, 'Let light shine from the darkness,' is the very one who sets our hearts ablaze to shed light on the knowledge of God's glory revealed in the face of Jesus, the Anointed One. But this beautiful treasure is contained in us, cracked pots made of earth and clay, so that the transcendent character of this power will be clearly seen as coming from God and not from us." And now from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 19 to 21. "I am preparing something new. It's happening now, even as I speak, and you're about to see it. I am preparing a way through the desert. Waters will flow where there had been none. Wild animals in the fields will honour me. The wild dogs and surly birds will join in. There will be water enough for my chosen people. trickling springs and clear streams running through the desert. Amen.
Just before the band play this morning, we have to say yet another fond farewell, this time to Pete and Sue. Pete and Sue have finally managed to buy and sell houses in order to move nearer their family in Peterborough. And I'm sure with me, you will want to wish them well in this venture. We must also say a huge thank you to Pete for his contribution and service in the band for the last 20 years. You will be sorely missed and will leave a big hole to fill on the bass section. He is the bass section today, you're right. I pray God's blessing on you both as you leave us, that you will soon settle down into your new home, and of course that all things will go well on moving day. With very best wishes from us all, may God bless you in the days that lie ahead. It was a little while ago since you said you were going, and we have had this for you, Peter, for quite some time now, so we hope it's all still in date. Just nip round and we'll say thank you. We had a bit of a whip round in the band, and in appreciation of your contribution and service. And this morning the band is going to play a piece of music called His Strength is Perfect. The words of the verse in the first chorus say, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, but sometimes I wonder what he can do through me. No great success to show, no glory on my own, yet in my weakness he is there to let me know his strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can't carry on. Raised in his power, the weak become strong. His strength is perfect.
Thank you. Thank you, band. That was lovely. It's been really encouraging for me to see how God has pulled this morning together. So Kevin had an idea about the song that the songsters are going to sing in a little while, and that band piece, everything all fits together. I'm about to speak, but I want you to know that I'm not speaking to you. I've asked God to use me to speak to you. And as Paul prayed, Claire and I prayed earlier that God would open your ears and your hearts to what we believe he wants to say. You're going to learn something about me. There's a little bit of interaction in the middle, a quiz, so don't fall asleep. And then in the same way that Paul used a song to continue his prayers, the songsters are the continuation of this message. And then after that, there's a multi-sensory experience. So stay tuned. I've always been fascinated by subtractive sculpture, which sounds really fancy, but it's as old as whittling a spoon from one piece of wood. And when you whittle stone and chip it away until you get the desired form, that's called subtractive sculpture. And it's the oldest kind of sculpture known to man. There are examples of subtractive sculpture that date back to tens of thousands of years before Jesus. But zoom forward, and a man called Michelangelo brought this art into a whole new realm. He could see inside the block of marble the flesh that he wanted to bring out of it. For him, he didn't see a big square of marble. He saw inside a fleshy form, and all he had to do was take off the bits that weren't needed. That sounds really easy, but you can imagine that one chip of the wrong bit, you can't go back. And chipping away at stone isn't easy or quick. It is now, because you can use power tools, but back then, it was a big mallet and a big chisel chipping away the big bits. And then the mallets and the chisels got smaller and more refined. And in the end, it was lots and lots of polishing. And the beauty of what talented people can do with those blocks of stone just takes my breath away. When you see marble that looks lifelike, you can see veins and tendons and expression. I think it's incredible. But no matter how good somebody is at that, it's still a piece of stone. So no matter how lifelike it seems, just as Jago was listening for the heartbeat in the stone, you're not going to hear one. And if you touch it, as Isla said, it's still going to be cold. So what's all that about sculpture and stone and the fact that I really like sculpture got to do with us here in church this morning? It's got to do with some of the verses that Penny read. The first verses were from Ezekiel chapter 6, and they're my absolute all-time favourite Bible verses. And I'm going to tell you why. In those verses, God talks about how he's going to put a new spirit into our hearts, and that spirit will change our heart of stone into a heart of flesh. Now, like me, if you've come to church a few times, you know a bit about Jesus and you know a bit about God. So we know that Jesus was with God from the beginning. John's gospel starts by telling us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Jesus has been around since the beginning of time. We know that Jesus became flesh and he came here on earth to make it his dwelling place. We know that there was a virgin birth and a stable involved, probably not a donkey, probably not three kings. We know that he gathered this motley crew of men who he called disciples around him. We know that he did miracles. We know that one of those miracles involved bringing dead flesh back to life. We know that he paid the ultimate sacrifice, that he gave his flesh as a living sacrifice on the cross. And we know that he rose from a stone bench where he had lain dead. 3 days later, he appeared in flesh to his disciples. We also know what it means to try and live as God and Jesus want us to. There are 10 commandments. Can anyone remember all 10? Anyone want to have a go? A few shaking heads. I'll have a go. So we need to put God first. We mustn't worship anything else. We shouldn't use God's name in vain. We should keep the Sabbath holy. We should honour our parents. Don't look at mine as I say that. We shouldn't murder anyone. We shouldn't commit adultery. We shouldn't steal. We shouldn't lie. We shouldn't covet. And then Jesus added to these. He told us that we should love everyone, that we should turn the other cheek, that we should forgive people, that we should go the extra mile, and that we should serve other people, even by going as far as washing their feet. So we know this in our heads. Who can remember, this is the interactive quiz part, who can remember the 5 points that Captain Paul spoke to us about last week? He started with 4, he then added a 5th. They all begin with the letter C. Anyone remember any of them? Continuation, creation, confident, that's 3. Commitment. I heard one more. Centered was the last one. So we're created by God, and that includes creating a purpose for us, a calling for us. We're committed to God, or we should be. Our confidence should be in God. We should be continually growing to be more like Jesus. And we should have Jesus at the centre of our lives. I don't know about you, but as I sat listening to that, I was not sat thinking, yep, I absolutely believe that God created me and that I have a unique purpose. That's something I struggle to believe for myself. I didn't sit there thinking, oh, I'm totally committed to following Christ. I never get that wrong, never veer away from that. I didn't sit there thinking, oh, absolutely, all my confidence is always in God. It's not. I wobble. I have doubts. I can't sit there thinking, oh yeah, every day I'm more like Jesus than I was when I woke up this morning. And I can't claim that in everything I do, Jesus is absolutely at the centre. I'm sure I'm not the only one that felt like that. And we sit here in church a lot and we learn these things that go into our head about what the Bible is telling us, what God wants from us, how we should live like Jesus. And every time we hear a message like that, I'm reminded of my favourite verses from Ezekiel. That God is the one who puts his spirit into our heart, and it's that spirit that changes us. God knows that we're weak and we need help. He knows that hearing these things in our heads isn't enough. He knows that what we want to do as humans is cling on to what feels safe and familiar. And to quote something that I learnt about Ipswich Town, we don't want to run towards adversity. That's not our natural way of being. John Stott says, it's impossible to be a Christian, let alone to live and grow as a Christian, without the ministry of the gracious Spirit of God. And the Bible tells us that the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. We can't be like Jesus in our own strength. And we don't need to be. We don't even need to try and be. We need to let the Spirit come into our hearts, teach our hearts, and take us deeper into God's truth. As soon as we put our faith in Jesus as our Saviour, the Holy Spirit comes to live in us. That might sound weird and a bit hard to understand, but it's what happens. God says that he will plant a new heart and a new spirit inside of us. This is the good news. When we put our faith in Jesus, we're adopted by God, and this bond is so close that we become like him and he lives in us. But there's a little bit more to it than that. As well as having the Spirit living in us, we need to constantly surrender and yield to that spirit, to give our heart to Jesus, not like the okie-cokie, but if that helps. This constant surrendering and asking the spirit to work in our hearts is an act of will. It's a choice we make. It's little choices that we make all the time. We need to say yes to God, and we need to say yes to his spirit. And that might mean saying no to what we want to cling on to. Do we do this, or do we hold on to what's familiar? Since becoming the charity manager at the Selig Suffolk Trust in 2016, I've had no choice but to surrender my heart to God's spirit. I had no experience of working with people who had become homeless, and it would be fair to say I was completely out of my depth. And all I could do was say to God, work in me, let me be your hands and your feet. And he has. I have changed. I have God's love for his people. And I have grown to love people, and I mean really love them, who, if I hadn't prayed those prayers and if God hadn't worked in me, I would have crossed the street to avoid. Claire and I often say to each other at work that we know that we're weak, that we're imperfect. Thinking of the second passage that Penny read to us, we're just vessels of earth and clay. We have imperfections. We break. We crack. But inside us lives this beautiful treasure, which is God's spirit. His spirit is the very breath of his being. The spirit is referred to in the Bible as God's comforter, the spirit of knowledge and life and truth. And that's inside us. Claire and I know that the work we do, the way God has changed us and our hearts, and the change that we see in other people, we know that that's all God's spirit working in us. We don't claim that we're doing anything special. During the pandemic, we kept going and we trusted God to go before us. And he did. He kept us safe and his spirit kept us strong. We have never had anyone catch COVID in any of our projects. And that's answered prayer. During the last year, we've had to think at work how to change the project that we're most well known for, the Ipswich Winter Night Shelter. That's changed into a new project. We yielded to God. We surrendered to him. And we've trusted him, thinking of the third passage that Penny read, to go before us and to make something new. And he has. He's made a way for us, and he's given us what we need. He's flooded our work with his life-giving spirit. I'm going to finish by reading something which I think is rather beautiful that C.S. Lewis wrote about the transforming power of the spirit. If we let him, for we can prevent him if we choose, he will make the feeblest and filthy of us into a dazzling, radiant, immortal creature, pulsating with such energy and joy and wisdom and love as we cannot now imagine. A bright, stainless mirror which reflects back to God perfectly, though of course on a smaller scale, his own boundless power and delight and goodness. What an invitation is this! We're not left to try and figure this all out on our own. We're invited to let this treasure, let this incredible spirit work in our hearts to change them and to become more like God. The songsters are going to sing now, and the song has these words in it. We are his children, the fruit of his suffering, saved and redeemed by his blood. Called to be holy, a light to the nation, clothed with his power, filled with his love.
We are
How nice was that song? How appropriate was that song? I could really feel it, and I pray that you did too. We're now coming to our final congregational song. As we listen and sing this song, you'll be given a chocolate heart. How nice is that? Look at it. See the red colour, the colour of flesh and blood. Feel it. It's hard, but when you eat it, it will transform and become soft. You will taste and smell the sweetness. A reminder that we are called to be a sweet fragrance of life. Please take up the offer of surrendering to and being transformed and strengthened by the Holy Spirit. Please stand if you're able as we sing our final song, and let's all go in the strength of the Lord.
Final benediction to you, and this is a prayer and a benediction as we end our time together. Loving God, in you we are transformed. When the discouraged cry for hope, make us hope. When the hungry cry for bread, make us bread. When the thirsty cry for water, make us water.
When the suffering cry for help, make us help. When the sick cry for healing, make us healing. When the oppressed cry for freedom, make us freedom. When the outcasts cry for love, make us love.
God, you are hope, bread and water, help and healing, freedom and love. Transform us anew and keep us close to you as you transform your world.
Let us leave here asking all this in the name of God, the Creator, Jesus, the Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit, our breath of life. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.